Your spiritual counterparts, patron saints, spiritual guides, they, through you, make the aerosol can labeled thought materializer. So far, you've done a lot of changing. I can sense you're wiser. It's a good sign. Because of what we've covered so far in our sessions, everything made sense and checked out to be true. Let's say almost everything. Your predictions have been pretty accurate, though. I still can't buy that Jesus can be connected in any way with UFOs. Don't get me wrong, what you've said makes a lot of sense. But there's nothing out there in libraries saying, or even suggesting this. Oh, we don't care. We don't want sensationalism, we want people to have faith and to make intelligent observations. You did it, you're convinced, now you're flying in them. Imbeat. Let's go to the beach and sleep for a while. After taking a little siesta by the water, we went out to eat subish. Using the sky as a movie screen, we stayed up most of the night for some more lessons on the universe and the beginning of a new phase in my astral projection. The next day, around noon, we drove to several nearby towns, doing more Peruvian horse hunting. At about 6:30 that evening we were finished. As far as Roy was concerned, that took care of his list, plus the few extra ones I had found. Roy wasn't coming until February 5, 1975, so I told Rama that we would celebrate by going to a Chinese restaurant in Chiclayo. When we got to my car, I found someone had broken into it, taking my clothes, cameras, briefcase containing all the notes on Rama's sessions, my passport, and credit cards. Needless to say, I was fuming and uttering profanities in many languages. When I stopped to take a breath, Rama said, "Kids, hungry kids. Let's look for the little thieves and break their necks. We'll use your superpowers to spot the sons of." "I will do no such thing," Rama said emphatically. "Why not?" I argued, "at least let's recover my documentation and passport. They're of no use to them if they're only hungry. My friend and brother, I know how you feel. I can sense it, I'm with you. But there are certain things you can't change. Are you saying I have to accept this? You already know God as a third force, the same way Job did. If you do things to upset the even frequency, you're Satan's prey." "The heck with Satan, I want my briefcase." "You're so angry you could kill, aren't you? Wouldn't you?" "No, I wouldn't. If my spirit were vibrating like yours right now, I couldn't be in tune to the same God that Jesus the Christ calls my Father in heaven. Being in tune with it is being able to forgive, taking life's adversities graciously, not cursing or wishing evil on your fellow man. When something terrible happens to you, instead of building up hate, you continue loving God. I was taught that in Hebrew school. Job losing his crops, his cattle dying, his children, and he never stops loving God. I'm telling you, that takes guts." "What's the matter, big man? Don't you have any guts?" I didn't want to smile, but she said that in such a sarcastic way that my upper lip muscles started twitch, soft hyphening my mustache. Being with her made it easier. We went to fill out a police report, and later that month I had to go to the embassy in Lima to get a new passport. When I arrived in the United States, I had to replace my J.D.'s, driver's license, credit and social security cards. By the time I had done all those things, I had learned a big lesson from Job. You love God no matter what, and you never have to worry because He will continue to provide for you. The kind of prayer I'd learned from the extra-to-air-soft-trials was the most rewarding and fulfilling. The sooner you learn to practice it, the faster you start getting results. Early the next morning, the big UFO came to take us to Agaya. Rama explained that a Vimana is too small to attach a car to. I could see why. A Vimana is no bigger than a Volkswagen. It even has the same bell shape, except it's round. The following week, Rama and I traveled all over having our sessions, which were very interesting as well as enlightening. My learning was gradual. I would get visual images of times to come. Visions based on astral projection that took me inside the prophetic Taurus of a great Parasoft-mid. I even got to be a god for one day, when we landed in a part of the Brazilian jungle near Mato Grosso between Peru and Brazil. The natives there received us as divinities coming from heaven. They are still waiting for the god Wirukicha to come and visit them. Rama and I told them that we were of the same family. Those were the most beautiful days that I can remember spent with my friends from outer space. By the end of January, I called Roy to make arrange mints for his coming to Peru. Rama was with me, Roy was pleased with my performance, and as a reward he said he had a certain type of motorcycle that I wanted, already sitting in his garage waiting for me. I was pleased and excited. On February 5th, he was coming to buy his Peruvian horses. Rama and I said so long for a while. I was to travel all over Peru with Roy. Everything went as planned. We managed to gather their horses together by the end of February, at a ranch outside Lima, ready to begin the exportation procedures. We had great times, wheeling and dealing with the owners and breeders of Peruvian Paso horses. I didn't notice any change in Roy's attitude. On the contrary, everything was go on our venture. On one of our trips, he took me to meet a friend of his. Being close to Rama had made me develop my sixth sense to the point of seeing auras. As soon as I saw this guy, I could sense his energy. Very uneven. I wasn't comfortable with his vibes. The man was a slick character. I didn't want to say anything to Roy because by now I was supposed to be loving rather than judging. He and Roy took a trip into the mountains to look for some more horses. I went back to Lima to start on some of my paperwork. 3 days later they came back with a truck full of livestock. The following day, Roy and I were to meet and discuss the final details of the shipment. When we did, he came out with a startling announcement. He said he'd decided to let his slick friend handle the deal. According to Roy, this man could do the jobs faster, better and cheaper. He assured me that our partnership would remain the same. I sincerely thought it was a good move. The guy was such a con artist that I didn't have any doubt that he would get the job done. Roy said that we'd see each other in the States when I returned. I drove him to the airport, and that was the last time I saw Roy. I spoke to him on the phone a few times after that, because our con man wasn't so slick after all. It took him over 8 straight months to get the livestock out of Peru. Roy ended up paying 8 times more than our original budget. The shady character put the blame for his failure on me, saying I used my pull with the Peruvian government to sabotage Roy's deal. He also created problems with the Association of Peruvian Horses in Peru. The former president of that association told me one day to my face that I had forged export documents. I argued with him that it was unnecessary for me to forge documents since I could get them legally, and fast, pointing out that I partied with the number one man in government and would have no problem getting my horses out of the country. Apparently my argument had a negative effect. The former president declared that I was an undesirable, and even went so far as to write to the American associations to inform them of my undesirability. I wrote a couple of letters, asking him to be open about any complaint he might have against me, but he ignored the situation in a most unprofessional way. It's a good thing all these trials and tribulations took place when I already had a solid foundation in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Every time something terrible happened, I'd just try to think about how Christ would have handled the situation. To do that, I had to accept Christ in my heart. It took a lot of convincing and studying, but after Rama had pulled a few numbers together, I had no other choice. About a week after Roy left Peru, I got a call from New York. A businessman named Danny wanted me to buy some Peruvian horses. This was an answer to prayer. It was the same day I'd been doing some reading about Saint Jude, which said he was also the protector of those spirits who want to earn their living by doing honest work. If you're on good terms with this guide in the universe, you'll always have a job. This hit me as I was hanging up the phone after talking to Danny. I made the same deal with Danny that I'd had with Roy. I'd get his horses, and he'd get me a nice ranch where I could go and write this crazy book about UFOs. Danny's deal kept me in Peru until around mid-October of 1975. My relationship with the Peruvian government officials was better than ever, besides which I had friends from other worlds helping me. Every chance I could get, I went to see Rama. One day I met three of Rama's friends who came in a Vimana to Akaya. She communicated with them a lot faster than she did with me. These men didn't have any hair on their heads, their eyes were the weirdest I'd seen so far, but full of love and warmth. While they had their conference, they would turn around and look me over occasionally. When they left, they seemed pleased that I had accepted and paid attention to Rama. They thanked me and patted me, putting their thoughts in my head to the effect, "Do not worry, brother, we have been watching over you for many, many years. Thank you for taking the time to write our message. We'll give you part of our strength." By early June 1975, I'd already seen and met all kinds of ufonauts. I always referred to them as angels or messengers. After the conference, Rama and I went swimming. She said her friends had already come up with a time slot for taking this book to a publishing company. "You see, I couldn't have given you the date without their approval," she said. "When's that going to be?" We met in July 1974, 2 full years would be July 1976. "You mean by July 1976, I should have this book already completed?" "That's right. By then there'll be certain developments that are going to be your cues to take our conversations to a publishing company. A nation will have a spacecraft about to land on Mars. A political figure of great acumen will have won a great victory. In July? If you're talking politics, the elections in that nation are not until November." I said, "A political figure. By then, I want you to keep an eye on a man who is going to become very popular almost overnight. Do I know who he is now? Is he in the news today?" "I don't think so. He's beginning his heavy career now, today, but he's far away from the popularity that he will have gained by July 1976. Is he the great political man who is going to bring us to Armageddon? You know what to look for, we've already discussed that in detail. Do you mean to tell me that this could be the beginning of the apocalyptical time of the Earth? In the same month and year, you'll see the fuse get set up for a war. Three weak spots in your world. You'll see how at any moment, things could get out of hand, because they'll have racial unrest, hate, and a thirst for blood. It'll be the beginning of Herculebus's influence on people's minds. Observe lunatics and a few earthquakes. Will the Middle East be involved in it? That's one of the weak spots. A year from now we're going to have a big celebration. Our 200-year birthday. How is that going to affect this? Will people see that their nation is about to take part in a Middle Eastern dispute? Unless people are prepared for it, they won't see it. They'll just go along, thinking it's another conflict, and thinking nothing of it. This July 1976, is he going to have any definite characteristics to make the people who take the time to investigate, suspect that he's the Antichrist? Or could he be the false prophet? You know where you'll find that answer, don't you? The news media. But the media won't give you that information. When you follow this man's movements via the head soft hyphen lines, you and the ones who analyze our conversations middle.8 know what to look for. I think I understand. You're saying that by then, the time will be ripe for us to see the beginning of it all. That's right. By that time, everyone who is alive is going to have a fair chance to choose between two forces, either those of the eternal God or those of Satan. Now that you understand Christ and his divine powers, you can clearly see that he is the only man who can free you from the evil forces. I don't quite understand it, but with you, I've seen it work so many times that I can't deny it. I guess there must be some chemistry that causes demons to flee the overpowering presence of Christ's divine spirit. Be peaceful and loving and you yourself will be able to cast out demons. You can exorcise. I'm trying and I'm learning. I hope I don't abandon this. You won't if you keep cultivating your spirit. So it's settled then. I'll do my darndest to have this ready by mid-year of 1976. Rama and I saw each other a few more times in 1975. I did continue my learning with my friends from outer space, even after I was back in the United States. Twice near Fort Collins, Colorado, and also in southern Florida while this book was being written. Upon my arrival in the States, I went to California and New York to do some more studies and research on Atlantis. I have a friend in Long Island, Myrna, who spent many years of her life studying. The woman is a genius. She's into the secret doctrines of Madame Blavatsky and the lost continent of Atlantis. She knows all about health food, macrobiotics, zone therapy, theosoft-uffy, and she is also a fine artist. By mid-December, I had come to the conclusion that history repeats itself and that we were about to make the same mistakes our fellow human beings, the Atlanteans, made some 12,000 years ago. I spent about a week with Myrna, becoming convinced we are well on the way to blowing ourselves to pieces. With the information I'd gathered this far, I went into total seclusion at a Peruvian horse ranch in southern Florida while I put down on paper the experiences I am now sharing. Between December 1975 and July 1976, I didn't take part in any activity, other than to prepare this message and help Danny set up his Peruvian horse breeding operation. The only contact I had with the outside world was newspapers, magazines, and a television set that kept me up with the events that each day brought us closer to the days of Armageddon. It was at this ranch, while working on the book, that I heard the news of the assassination of the man who had been behind the scenes in the world of politics and international intrigue. That prediction, and many others Rama had made during our sessions of 1975 in Peru, have been coming true very accurately so far. Sometime in the near future, I plan to write about those events, along with the events that led me to accept Christ as the only man who has the strength to fight and free us from the works of evil. In order for the reader to understand and get the benefits of this message, I suggest some additional reading. Even though this message is grim for the entire human race, there is the hope that those who are interested in knowing what awaits our planet in these next few years will take the time to look for this material and check it against their own sources of information. Our purpose is not to create friction with any goth-soft-unment, church nor person on this planet, for our message knows no international boundaries or religious doctrines. We are all free to choose whatever we want to believe. Before I had this experience, I had already heard many times that a piece of California would fall into the ocean. I never believed it until I did my own research, finding valid, solid, scientific information based on geological studies done in California universities. I always thought that astral projection, astral travel, and the spiritual world were fantasies that people dreamed about, until I studied the secret doctrines of ancient religions, Lobsang Rampa, the Tibetan Lamas, and the parapsychology departments of several universities. Again the concept became clear, and it is far from being fictional. The UFO phenomena is one of the more controversial issues of our time. If you want to get to the truth of it, just walk to your local library and find the myriads of books on the subject. If you have an open mind, it won't take you long before you're convinced of the existence of UFOs. When it came to Jesus the Christ, I was a hard nut to crack. Why? Because I was misguided. It took my friends from outer space to show me how simple it really is to get to know Jesus and to accept his teachings. I always thought of the Bible as a Mickey Mouse book. After giving it same serious and intelligent consideration, I found that its contents are full of accountings of visitations of divinities and gods from the heavens. These cosmonauts, ancient and modern, are fulfilling their promises made thousands of years ago. They are back again, to save us from destruction and evil forces. If you are sincerely interested, you must do your own research, balance your conscience and make up your own mind what you will believe. I'm going to give you two bibliographies. The first one is the must-read list, so this book makes sense to you. The second list is optional, but I want you to believe me when I say that I haven't written one word of these conversations without checking out the facts first. I sincerely hope this message reaches you in time so you'll be able to make your own decisions. That way, you'll have enough understanding not to be fooled by those who will come to give you their name and number, telling you they're the promised Messiah. Keep in mind, that the only way we're going to get this understanding is by having faith and intelligent reason soft-hyphening. Our brothers and sisters from outer space can sense our sincerity and our desire to meet them. After all, we're the ones who have a date. A date with the gods. The end.